67, I am praying for you.
Thank you. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Is not that our song? Thank you, Carlin, for your thoughts in the opening. Psalm 95, just having soft hearts for what the Lord has for us. Because if our hearts are not soft, if we have hardened hearts, the seeds cannot take root, as we hear in the parable of the sower and the seeds. So thank you for sharing that. And just a few other things that stood out in that psalm to me was just in the thought of worship, come let us sing unto the Lord in the first verse. Let us make a joyful noise, which we just did. We sang. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And then, for he is our God and we are his people. It is so beautiful and such a precious promise and such a precious song, precious thought. Want to welcome everyone here again. Thank you to the visitors that are here. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us. So typically when I'm going to have devotions, I usually have a pretty good idea of what I'm going to share a while before I share it. I've often got lots of thoughts rolling around in my head. This time was different. I had lots of thoughts, but absolutely nothing was coming together in my head. It just felt like nothing meshed, nothing worked. So last Saturday, would have been a week ago, I was having my devotions. I just bowed my head and said, Lord, I don't know what to share. Like, just show me. So I closed my Bible. I don't do this a whole lot. Just close the Bible and then let it fall open. Open my eyes after praying. And my eyes lit upon the verse, or these verses. The Bible was open to Matthew chapter 5. And my eyes lit upon verses 14 through 16. Now, anybody that was here last week probably will recognize those verses as what Skylar shared about. And so my takeaway from this is God is teaching me that right now, especially, I need to be a light, and I have a lot to learn about being a light. So I'll start off reading Matthew verse 5, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And I want to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and read a couple more verses, verses 22 and 23, to go along with that. It says, Matthew 6, 22, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What I take away from this is, when I think of a light, I think of there's a source, and then there is light radiating out from that. We are supposed to be lights, so we are a source, and then something is radiating out from our lives. And what is that? Are we radiating light or dark? Are we radiating life or death? Do we radiate compassion or judgment? Do we radiate mercy or condemnation? Do we radiate a sharing life, or do we radiate selfishness? Do we radiate love, or do we deal with radiating dislike, animosity, hatred? What spirit is in us? So today I'm talking to myself. I have not got all this life figured out. I'm not standing up here trying to tell you all that you're not lights or that what is going on, but I'm just talking up here about things that I grapple with in my mind, and I invite everyone to listen to what the Lord is trying to teach me. So I want to talk about ways that we can be lights. And one of the first things that I thought of in being a light is I want to look into Jesus' life, and I wanted to look at the things that he did. But in digging into that, I found it was more than just what he did. It was the motive behind what he did. What was he feeling? What was the reason he did it? So the first thing I would like to look at is compassion. Strong's gave the thought for the word compassion. It was sympathy, pity, or a deep yearning from within for sympathy and pity. So you don't need to turn to these. I will just read them because I have a few different scriptures that I'd like to read from. The first one I want to read is in Matthew 14. Nobody needs to turn to that. I'm going to start at verse 13. And the setting for this, John the Baptist had just died. He'd just been beheaded. That was the news that we just received in the verses prior to this. It says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when they had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. The rest of the story is Jesus feeding the 5,000. They had just the loaves and fishes. I think most of us know that. But what I want to hone in on is the compassion that Jesus showed. He had removed himself, we would gather to mourn. And I don't know about you, but when I want to mourn something, I really don't want to see people that badly. But we see that the multitudes followed them, and Jesus did not become selfish over this. He felt compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So that's just a challenge for me to show compassion in the times when I don't feel like showing compassion. And another time that Jesus showed compassion is in Matthew 20, verses 30 to 34. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them that they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called to them and said, what will ye that I should do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they received sight and they followed him. I just had to think of the contrasting responses. The crowd that was around Jesus was annoyed that these people cried out for help. But Jesus saw their need, and he met that with compassion and mercy. How do I respond to people's needs? Do I respond with compassion, or do I get annoyed by the noise? Another time Jesus showed compassion in Mark, chapter 1, verse 40 and 41. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, and said, I will, be thou clean. Just again, Jesus showing compassion. And then in Luke 17, verses 12 through 14, or Luke 7, 12 through 14. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and there and that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered them, or him, to his mother. There came a great fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, A great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Jesus showed compassion, and then God, his Father, was glorified. I just have to really think, I notice Brother Brent especially has been, when he speaks, he emphasizes that one of God's greatest desires is to be glorified by us. And that just, again, is showing that through compassion, we can glorify God. And then something that goes hand in hand with compassion is mercy. That is another light that we shine, is the light of mercy. And the Strongs gave the thought that mercy is compassion in action. If compassion is a deep feeling, a yearning, a pity within us, mercy is the action that springs out of that pity, out of that deep feeling within us. Jesus told the Pharisees to go and learn what it meant that I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Mercy and compassion flowed from the life of Jesus, and it drew many people to him. He was a light through his mercy and his compassion, and people repented. The story of the prodigal son is a tremendous story of compassion in action. The father felt so much sympathy and pity for his son that had left, had squandered everything, and realized what he had done wrong. He felt so much pity and sympathy and compassion that he was there. He acted out that compassion and accepted him back in mercy. And his brother had maybe more the response that I would probably have, as he was frustrated that his brother was brought back. He had squandered things. He should be punished. And I just have to think, what response brought life in that situation? Was it the father's response of love, mercy, and compassion? Or was it the response of the brother? Which is the response I would probably have. It would feel just so much more just. The story of the Good Samaritan is another story of compassion in action. I would imagine that the priest and the Levite that passed up this poor man lying beaten, naked, dying in the ditch, I believe they probably felt very sorry for that man. But they never acted on that. It never went beyond the feeling of sorry until the Samaritan came and he felt compassion and he acted in mercy and love. Compassion should lead to the action of mercy. And the opposite of mercy, the opposite of compassion, I believe, is judgment and condemnation. Do we have mercy and compassion? Do I have mercy and compassion in my life? Does that radiate from me? Or do I radiate judgment and condemnation? Or even worse, do I feel indifferent toward everything? That is lukewarmness. Another way that we can shine our light that I thought of is sharing. And there's many different things we can share in life. I think for us, one of the things we can share, we have money or our material goods. There are many people that do not. Maybe they're not close by to us, but that is one of the things we can share. In 1 John 3, verse 17, it says, But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him. Then I think, especially for the children that were here during VBS, like when we were having those offerings, there was people that had a need. They didn't have clean drinking water. Like, they were drinking dirty, disgusting water. And you learned about that need there. And you worked hard. You had some money. And you shared that. And God is so pleased when we share what we have to help those that do not have. Another thing that we share is time. All of us have time. It's really one of the only things in life that we do have. Some of the things that we can share our time with is building projects. There are missions. Visiting old people. Opening our home and hosting somebody, whether it's dinner or for the evening or for an extended time. People you don't know. People you do know. The ministry especially, they share their time in preparing messages and teaching us and counseling people that may need it. There's so many ways that our time can be shared. Another thing that we are called to share is the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16 says, I'm just paraphrasing here, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then in Matthew 10:36 and 38, I'm paraphrasing again, Jesus says the harvest is great. Pray that the Lord sends workers into his harvest. We all have a different way of sharing the gospel, and it's important to understand that we are all going to do this differently. In Ephesians 4:11, it says that God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ. I looked each one of those words up because often can glaze over that and not really take a deep dive and think what that means. The word apostles gave the thought of an ambassador of the gospel. He that is sent. So I think we would think of that as a missionary. A prophet, it gave the thought of an inspired speaker or a foreteller. An evangelist gave the thought of a preacher of the gospel. A pastor, it gave the thought of a shepherd, somebody that watches over a specific flock. And teachers, it gave the thought of an instructor, a doctor, teacher, or a master. And that word master is the same word that the disciples used when they would say, Jesus, master. More often than not, that word teacher appears as master in reference to Jesus. So we all have a different way that we share the gospel, and it is important not to believe that the way somebody else shares the gospel is wrong if it is falling in line with Christ's word. If an apostle, if a missionary would think that someone that is a pastor, a shepherd of a flock, was not sharing the gospel, was not doing their work because they're not doing the same thing that a missionary is, then that is wrong. If a master is frustrated with an evangelist who presents the gospel, but the teacher, the instructor who breaks down the whole word, is frustrated by somebody that presents the gospel to new believers, that is not right. It takes all of us working together. We all have a different gift. 1 Corinthians 12:20 to 21, I paraphrase a little here, says, we are one body, many members. The eye doesn't say, I do not need the hand, or the head, I do not need the feet. The Lord will use all of us to spread his kingdom. So I had to ask myself, am I radiating a sharing spirit? Do I share money? Do I share my time? Do I share the gospel in the ways that it is presented that I can? Or do I radiate selfishness? Do I keep everything for myself? Do I keep my money for myself? Do I keep my time and never share that with others? Or more importantly, do I keep the gospel locked in my own heart and never share it with a soul? My my last thing, and this is by no means a comprehensive list of ways that we can share light. This is just the things that went through my mind, the things that I deal with, the things that I think of, is love. Love is the greatest way to show the light of Christ, to shine light in a dark world. I didn't write the reference down, and I can't remember it exactly, but I believe in the Gospel of John, it says, essentially, if every man on earth was a scribe, if every stalk on earth was a quill to write with, and if the oceans were ink and the skies were parchment, it would fall short of describing the love of God. So the few things that I share are so far from covering the whole love that God has, that Christ has for us, and the love that we can, the light that we can shine through love. I'm going to Mark 12, 29, verse 34, or 29:34 says, Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And thou shalt love the, And the second is like it, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, thy heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." And then Jesus told that scribe, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of heaven." So we see in love the most important thing about love is to love God first and foremost with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And after that comes brotherly love. And in the story of the Good Samaritan, I believe it was a scribe that had asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus told that story, and that it was anyone in need. Anyone that needs our help is our neighbor. The Samaritan showed brotherly love to the Jew. Imagine how that Jew's worldview was shattered. He believed that Samaritans were evil, that they were bad, and they should not associate, and yet he was rescued by one. I think everyone here knows the story of Dirk Willems from The Martyr's Mirror. I can't remember every detail, but he was imprisoned and set to die because he loved Christ, because he was trying to live for him, and he escaped. And he was being chased across the river, a river of ice. He crossed over the thin ice, and his captor broke through. He could have escaped, but he had compassion, he had mercy, and he had love that turned him around and rescued the captor that was chasing him. What did that do to the man that he pulled out of the water? Imagine if you were chasing someone to kill them, and when you got caught in a trap, they turned around and they rescued you. Would that not shatter our worldview? Jesus changed the hearts of countless people when he laid down his life on the cross for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. I do not claim to have all this mastered. This is just what I struggle with. This is what I ask myself, am I living a life filled with that much love? Am I living a life filled with sharing? Am I living a life that is radiating mercy, compassion? On the thought of love, I'd like to close with this. It's John 13:33. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So what is radiating from me? Love or hatred? Animosity, dislike? Is it light or is it darkness? Is it life or is it death? With that, why don't we stand up and we'll have a prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your mercy, your compassion, that you shared your Son Jesus with us. Lord, we just thank you for the many blessings that you have given to us. We thank you for health, for life, for everything. Lord, just help us to live lives that radiate the light of your love. We just pray that you will be with us the rest of this service. As Carlin said, just give us soft hearts to hear your word. Lord, we just commit the rest of this service to you. Bless Brent as he shares from his heart. And just, again, open our hearts to what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do not have a song, so feel free to select one.
8. Did you think about it, that it, each verse asks each one of us a question? You know, Jesus gave it all for us. What did we do for him? What did we give for him? What have we left for him? What do we carry for him? And what have we brought to him? Just some pretty deep questions. And also, I like the last verse of Jesus loves me. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. May that be our desire as we go forth. I'm going to touch a little more on Steve's devotional there. One thought that I thought of, he had mentioned the prodigal son, how his father had mercy on him and pity. And I don't remember where I read this, but or heard it, but you know how the prodigal son's father came running for him, to him? It was in that culture, it was not to run. An elderly man to run like that was very frowned upon. So the father left. He didn't care anymore. All he could see was his son. The love, the pity was that great that he was willing to be have his dignity brought down a little. Can we be that way when we're a light? And then I like the closing verse there. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. May that be our goal this week, so we can be a bright and shining light. For a title for this morning's message, I used a verse. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Why don't we turn to that? Because that's kind of the key of the whole message. We'll be looking at some other scriptures also, but 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So, I guess humility is what I want to look at this morning. It says we're supposed to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Bring our ourself, our pride, everything under the mighty hand of God. And if we can do this, if we rely on God, we can do this. And he gives us a promise then that he may exalt us in due time. The definition of humble is being modest, not proud, having a low rank or simple style. Today, you'll have to bear with me. I'll be doing a lot of comparisons between pride and humility. So it's just really, how do I want to word it? They're so black and white, they're so opposite that I couldn't help but compare it every which way. Pride is the opposite of humility, and we know from Scripture that God hates pride. He makes it very clear. Proverbs 6:16 and 17, I'm paraphrasing here. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the first thing he mentions is a proud look. It's a first on the list of seven things. And if you look at the rest of that second verse, it's in the same list as lying and killing. And so humility is, God calls us to humility as we follow him. Let's turn to Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So here we say, here we see humbleness is of the mind. And that's something I really, whichever way I turn to Scripture as I studied, humility starts as a way of thinking. It's comes as an after effect of a correct view of myself before God. It's realizing how great God is and what he has done for me. In contrast, where would I be without God in my life? It's giving him all the glory and praise for what he has done for me. Not chalking it up as my own human accomplishments. It's realizing that who I am is because of what God, the power God has given as we live for him. So we'll kind of just study this word, humility. I have three things that kind of are attributes of humility. And then we have, kind of in plain clothes, what humility does for you. And then we have, then we'll look at some of God's promises when we live in humility. So the first one as an attribute is to forget self. To be humble, we have to forget. We have to let our own selfish desires on the table. And Satan is daily, at least for me, he daily tries to take my focus off God and the needs of others around me. Once he does this, if I let him do this, let Satan focus on me, tempt me to focus on me, then all my focus is on myself, and then he can plant seeds of jealousy, discontentment, discord, and pride. We have to be intentional with our thought life to be able to overcome this. And we have to daily fill ourselves with God's word, thoughts about God, and then those around us are next. Then we can be filled with peace and contentment. But it takes a daily and a moment-by-moment act of being intentional to do this. Let's turn to Philippians 2, verses 2 through 11. This scripture here would kind of lay it out on how Jesus was our example when he was here on earth. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus was our perfect example. And that brings us to the second attribute of humility, being a servant. You know, Steve mentioned that in devotional there, that it wasn't, the compassion came from the motive. The servanthood, how do I want to explain that? The motive was right behind his servanthood. He filled his life with others' needs. You know, last Sunday, I wanted to touch also on Skylar's devotional on being a light. I was pondering that thought and how that fits into servanthood. And it seems to me that the world keeps becoming darker and darker with sin as time goes on. And servant-filled life is something that the general public can even hardly understand. And it keeps becoming more and more foreign as the world becomes darker. But when we can live out a servant-filled life in our daily walk, I believe it's a powerful way to shed light. It doesn't have to be much. It can be just a small act, a small candle, but it's a bright beam of light to those around us in the world. And it's enough to make them question, make them sit or stop and think. I believe that's a beautiful way to show God's love is just being a servant to others. You know, and all it takes is that little candle that they can see the path that they should walk. But in able to do this, our hearts have to be sincere. They have to be we have to have the right motive. We cannot do it for self-glorification. It has to be for God. Otherwise, that light is snuffed out, and it seems it's pretty easy. Even those who don't know Christ can pick up on that attitude so quick. Maybe even quicker than we ourselves can. So let's be careful. Let's have right motives. The next one is obedience. Obedience through humility. When we're humble, God and all the authority on this earth becomes easier to be subject to. If you think about it, humility and disrespect are two opposite. You can't be humble and disrespect authority. It just doesn't mix. Let's turn to 1 Peter again and read 1 Peter 5. This time we'll read verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So there we have Scripture calling us to be subject to authority, to one another. And in order to even seek God's will, that's the first part of God's will, is to be subject and humble. Let's also turn to Proverbs 22, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 4 and 5. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Here we see that he's saying, by humility and the fear of the Lord, which would mean the respect of God, having respect for the Lord, that's where riches, honor, and life are. And on the other hand, thorns and snares are the way of the proud. So if we can keep ourselves humble, He promises that it'll keep us far from thorns and snares. But when self is first in line, that puts myself as the most important, and in turn, that puts God second and anybody else below that. That makes a hard road to travel. I read a story. There was a teenage son told his dad that he wanted to be a successful businessman. Well, his dad asked him, what kind of business did you want to be in? And he responded with, he didn't know. He just wanted to be successful. He just wanted the respect of others. And the father gave him two pieces of advice. I just thought I'd share them. It says, a great man is always willing to live in the shadow of his success. And the second one I thought was really good. The most difficult secret for a person to keep is the opinion he has of himself. And that's so true. It's most of us, we're an open book, you know. Everybody around us is reading us at all times. So just something to keep in mind. Next, we will look at what humility does for us as a person, like in daily life. Number one, it helps you learn. Being humble makes it safe to admit mistakes and accept advice. Pride will have me thinking I know everything, and when advice is needed, there's no room for it. That's something that it's one of the things I need to work on. Two, build strong bonds. Humility shows respect and kindness that builds trust with friends, family, and coworkers. On the other hand, pride will put myself first when tough times arise. And also, no one loves that person that has to be the most noticed in the room. And then three, humility encourages growth. Humility keeps my mind open to new ideas and differing views from others. Versus pride makes my personal opinions seem so real that I will not even consider any other differing opinions. Like there's no room. And if we take all these things all together, humility brings us closer to that example of Jesus when he was here on this earth. Just a few things that were a help to me, give me guidance through the day. And then finally, we're going to look at God's promises with humility. The promise he gives each one of us if we live in humility. In James 4, it says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. It's quite a promise we have if we can live completely under him. We have a promise of God's grace. On the other hand, God will turn his face away from pride. He detests it. But through humility, God gives grace and lifts up the spirit. And you can read this if you look up humility in the Bible. This comes across over and over again. So what a promise we have. The next one, God hears the prayers of the humble. Why don't we turn to Luke chapter 18. We'll read through that a parable Jesus taught. Luke chapter 18, we'll read verse 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house more justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If I could always have the attitude of that publican, life would be a lot easier, and God would be glorified. You can see, if we look in that, look at verse 11 there, it's worded very well. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. It doesn't even say that it reached God. He prayed with himself. But when we can pray in humility, we're promised that God hears those prayers. It's a promise God gives us. And humility brings God close, I believe. The next one I have is God will exalt those that are humble, which we can see in that key verse. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If I live humbly here on earth, relying on God for my help and strength, not my own human strength, God promises to lift me up. And he desires that each one of you rise up. He desires a life of good, a fulfilling life for each one of you. But the only way he can build you up is if he is glorified. And then we have a promise of we may not be glorified here on earth, but it may be in eternity. After a humble life here on earth, a home in glory is ours. And that will be a true exaltation. Let's turn to Isaiah 57:15. Some of you may remember that passage. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. Does everybody want to stand and we'll say this together? Just for some memory here. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You may be seated. You know, that's a beautiful verse. And let's just take that verse home and remember that through the week. And may our prayer be to live more like Christ in humbleness, for he is our perfect example.